the 11th chapter of Luke in a few minutes. Continuing our meditation on prayer. The Siamese twins of spiritual growth, prayer, and the study of the Word. It has been said that prayer is the most undeveloped and unworked claim that Christians have. James tells us, "Ye have not because ye ask not." And here in this 11th chapter, we have one of the great passages, teaching of our Lord concerning prayer. It came to pass that as he was praying, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty himself, praying. In a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." The first thought is that the disciples said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." But there is the imperative, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." I am sure that the disciples of our Lord saw the relation of our Lord's nights in prayer to his days of power. Did you pray till the answer came? Have you prayed? A very poignant verse, 12th chapter of Acts, the 5th verse, where they had Peter in prison waiting until the holy days had passed to execute him. The church came together as a church to pray for Peter, and we read in that 5th verse that prayer was made to God for him. Number one, the church united in prayer. Number two, they prayed to God. They prayed to God. A friend of mine was talking to me one day about his pastor, and I said, "Have you tried praying for your pastor?" He said, "I've prayed for him and I've prayed at him, and neither one did any good." Oftentimes we're praying at somebody or to somebody, but this church meeting together prayed unto God for him. They prayed for Peter. One thing, as we recently had, where two are agreed upon any one thing is touching this earth, they may ask whatsoever they will, and it will be given unto them. So they asked the Lord to teach them to pray. Now, he doesn't say if you pray. He said when you pray. When you pray. Never in his mind that they would not pray. But when you pray, you can say, then he gives what we call a model prayer. Luke's account of the model prayer is a little different to that of Matthew. And some people who know the model prayer in Matthew and not in Luke sometimes think that when they hear public recitations of it from Luke, they think they're leaving out something, but it's just a different occasion entirely. Now we're going to look at this model prayer briefly. Our Father. Note the word our, the pronoun, our. No place do we read in the Word of God in prayer of individuals just praying for themselves alone. The classic example is that of Daniel confessing his sins to God, or the sins of Israel to God, numbered himself among all of the people. We have sinned against thee, O Lord. Forgive us of our sins. Daniel. And here he says, our Father. When just one of you is praying, say, our Father, because we are a part of the body of Christ. And every other Christian is part of us, and we are part of them. And when we go to the Lord in prayer, we take all Christians with us. Our Father. A few words more beautiful than the word Father. I'm sure you would agree with me that possibly the word Mother strikes a more responsive chord in the hearts of the people. Talk about the mother and the motherhood and mother love. But our Father. Not only is Jehovah our God, but He's our Father. Pity the child that grows up in a world without a father. God Almighty is our Father. Judy came home from school one day in the first grade, and she came running to me and said, Daddy, aren't you a millionaire? I said, who'd you tell I was? She said, I told them at school you were. I said, well, stay by your guns. Father, I've heard little kids talking about their father could whip the other's father. Our Father. God is our Father. God is our Father. Too many Christians today address God like Dr. Schofield telling of brothers under the law, called upon to pray, and he stood up to pray, and he said, oh, thou great and dreadful God. And Schofield, I think, punched the preacher next to him and said, get the brother a New Testament. But most people think of God as a judge. They think of Him as revengeful. They think of Him in things that express fear. But He's our Father. And I don't think we have any prettier picture of the fatherhood of God than the prodigal son when he returned home to the father, and the father clasped him to his bosom. And he says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Father. Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy be thy name. Separate from everything be thy name. Undefiled be thy name. May your name never be used except in reverence and awe. Hallowed be thy name. The way the name of God is bandied about today by everybody on TV, radio, platform, street, wherever you go, God's name isn't hallowed anymore. May your name always be kept holy. There are dozens of slang and bywords that are a takeoff on God Almighty. Some people just use the capital letter G and they just say, oh, G. Others, a little more refined, say, my gracious. Only God is gracious. Only God is gracious. They're just calling out the name of God. I could go on and name innumerable bywords that are a takeoff on the name of God, but I'm not going to. I just don't like to. But you can think and call to mind, and when you hear them, you cringe. May your name be kept holy. Use it only in worship, praise, glorifying the Lord. Thy kingdom come. This is one of three things for which our Lord tells us to pray. Pray for His coming kingdom. Secondly, pray for the kings and rulers, governors, presidents of the nations of the world. Pray for those that have authority over us. And then pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Here He says, Thy kingdom come. I don't know whether you appreciate the fact that few Christians today have any concept of the coming kingdom of our Lord. To them, we die, we go out yonder in space somewhere to heaven. I don't know where it is or what it is. We just go. That's the end of it. He said, pray for the coming of His kingdom. He told about on one occasion how when an announcement was made of the coming kingdom, how they laughed, jeered and taunted the ones talking about the coming kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray for the coming of that kingdom. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our bread for the rest of our lives. That's the way most of us feel. But today, give us the bread for today. The Apostle Paul tried to explain how we can be satisfied with the things of today and let tomorrow take care of itself. Give us day by day our daily bread. The intent and purpose there is that we should look to the Lord, lean on the Lord, trust the Lord every day. Having a son-in-law who was farming for a number of years before the Lord took him off the plow and put him behind the podium, I came to appreciate how dependent the farmer is on the Lord. The early rain, the latter rain. No hail, no bugs, no grasshoppers. I was thinking about a young man out in that area that had 2,100 acres of corn a few years ago when corn was so high. Something like $1 million worth in the field. And a hail storm of a few minutes, grasshoppers or bugs or something, could take that away less than a day's time, depending on the Lord. They came to appreciate it so much that Every time a little cloud would show up, one of the little girls would run and say, "Daddy, let's pray. Let's pray. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Forgive us our trespasses, as we have forgiven those who trespassed against us." Matthew. A personal question. Rhetorical question. No answer, no demonstration. Do you want God to forgive you like you forgive those who trespass against you? Do you want God to forgive you like you forgive those who've trespassed against us? Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into these great trials. Deliver us from the evil one. It's a literal translation. Satan with his tempting, Satan with his testings. And we're told in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, that God will not allow us to be tested beyond that which we can endure. And when the test comes, he provides a way of escape. With the testing is a way of escape. Now lead us not into these testings and trials by the evil one, but deliver us from him. And then he gives this beautiful illustration of prayer. Perseverance in prayer. Praying till the answer comes. I want to read it, and then we'll look at it. He said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed, I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Illustration drawn from life. Back in the days of our Lord, when there were very few inns, no motels, no hotels, and traveling through the land, at night they would have to stay in someone's home. Paul speaks in one of his epistles of hospitality as a manifestation of love, receiving strangers. And as they came along the way, nightfall would catch them and somebody there would put them up for the night. Now here is a man who had a friend come in at midnight. The friend's hungry and he's had nothing to eat. And this man with whom he's going to spend the night has nothing to give him. But he knows a friend next door that has plenty. Look at Peter and John going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. The poor beggar holding out his hand, begging for an alms. Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee." Peter knew someone who could help him. And you know someone who can help. And I know someone who can help. And our friends come to us for help. In and of ourselves, we cannot help them, but we know one who can. And so this man gets up. and goes to this neighbor at midnight. The neighbor's asleep in bed with the children. He hears a knocking at the door. It continues. He finally hollers, "Who is it? What do you want?" "I need some bread." "Go on your way. I'm in bed with the children. Don't disturb me. Leave me alone." But this friend from next door has a friend staying with him who's hungry. And he keeps knocking and knocking and knocking. And the Lord says that finally the man will get up out of bed and go and get him the loaves and give him as many as he can to get rid of him. Now, I don't think the Lord answers prayer to get rid of us. But I do know this. On two different occasions, the children of Israel begged and begged and begged and begged and begged the Lord for something that he didn't want them to have. But he finally let them have it because of their continual begging. Which has led me to observe on more than one occasion and express it in these words. Be careful for what you pray. You might get it. I got a letter one day while teaching in the college there in my hometown from a young man that had been in one of the classes. And the letter was from China. He said, "How I got here, I don't know, but that when I got here, I remembered what you said. You said not to ask the Lord for something, we might get it." But he said, "I asked the Lord, told the Lord I wanted to come to China to do work or something, and here I am." And he said, I don't understand it. But I remember one thing. You said, don't ask the Lord for it. You might get it." The children of Israel begged and begged and begged the Lord for meat. They got so tired of that manna that they despised it. They hated the manna, almost hating the God Almighty that provided it for them. They hated it. They wanted meat, 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 and they cried for it and cried for it. Finally, the Lord told them they could have meat. And he sent the quail in, and as they came in, there's no unanimity of interpretation on this, but he said a foot high, a cubit high. Some think that the quail flew in at that height. I rather think the quail came in and stacked up that high. But they ate quail, and they ate quail, and they ate quail. They got so gorged on quail that they began to disgorge themselves. And quail came out at their nostrils. And I'm sure that many of them felt like the quail were coming out at their ears. But they got it to their heart's content and more. Another thing for which Israel asked the Lord that he didn't want them to have, but their continual crying for it, the Lord let them have it. That was a king. They wanted a king like everybody else. And the Lord said, "No. No, you get a king, he'll conscript your young men, he'll press your young girls into his service, he'll break up the home life. You don't know for what you're asking. When you ask for a king, oh, we do, we want a king." And he gave them a king. He gave them a king. Here he's teaching us, this man continually knocking on the door, asking his friend to get up and give him bread. Finally, the friend got up and gave him the bread to get rid of him. Sometimes I can picture the Lord as my father in the flesh has done on more than one occasion while he was with us. Asked for something. Finally, he said, "Here it is, now take it." And So this friend asks for the bread, and he finally gets up and gives him, not only three loaves, but gives him much as he wanted. As much as he wanted. Now, the Lord says, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. That's one of several acrostics to be found in the Word of God. The first word, ask, A. Second word, seek, S. Third word, K, knock, ask. And we've got it. There's gradation in this, progression. Ask. You have not because you ask not. If you have dealt in prayer very much, you've had the experience of God Almighty answering the prayer almost before you ask. Many is the time you've seen the prayer come simultaneous with the asking, the answer. Simultaneous with the asking. On the other hand, you've had the experience of asking and asking and asking and asking and asking. You feel like crying out with David as he did in the 22nd Psalm. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far away from me? You don't hear me. All day long and all night long I call upon thee and no answer, no answer. David says, I remember though my forefathers trusted in you and they were not disappointed. So David just kept on calling and kept on calling and the Lord answered. Ask and ye shall receive. Ask. The day comes when asking no longer suffices. Then you have to seek. You seek. You hunt. You persevere. Seek, and you shall find. There comes a day when the seeking no longer suffices. And you've got to storm the gates of heaven, so to speak. You've got to knock. Knock, knock, knock. And the door will open. Then this homely but beautiful characterization, the parable of the fatherhood, which of you, or if a man shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Familiarity with the rural life makes possible this illustration. Which of you, being a father, your little boy comes running to you and says, Daddy, give me a roll. Would you, as a father, reach down and pick up a round stone that looked like a roll or shaped like a roll and give it to your boy and watch him bite into it, maybe break a tooth? Would you do that? Or if you've cast your net out into the sea and brought it in, and you're separating the fish, and your little boy comes running up to you and says, Daddy, give me a fish. Would you search around in the net for a serpent and take out that serpent and say, here, son, here's a fish, to watch him? I saw that happen once. I was holding a meeting in a rural section of another state years ago, and they decided they'd have a fish fry. And so the men all got together and they got their great long seine, or nearly as long from here to back, and a whole bunch of men together dragging that through and then up to the bank of the creek, and then they get in there and catch a fish with their hands and putting them in their pockets. And one fellow said to another, "Here's a good one." And here's a water moccasin, snake. I saw that happen. But you wouldn't do that to your son. If you owned a fish, you wouldn't give him a serpent. Or you've gone out in the evening to gather up the eggs. Did any of you ever gather up eggs? Yeah. That's a rare experience, isn't it? Like when we first came here, we were in a carpool, and there was a little boy in the carpool. One day when we picked him up, he was just shaking all over with joy and just happy. He said, What's the matter with you? And he said, "Oh, we're going to spend this weekend on the farm with Grandma." And he said, "I'll tell you one thing too. We're going to take our own milk with us. We're not going to drink any of that that comes from a cow." Well, this man went out to gather up the eggs. The box, straw in there. A good place for scorpions. There were many times. And your little boy comes running up to you and says, "Daddy, give me an egg." And you hunt around in there and pick up a scorpion and hand it to him. Would you give your son a stone when he asks for bread? A serpent when he asks for a fish? Or a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit unto them that ask Him? Matthew says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more does your heavenly Father know to give good things to them that ask Him?" Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh has it open unto him. Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Our Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for this meditation, for this study. We pray, O Lord, that Thou bless it to our hearts, that honor and glory shall be Thy portion. Lord, Thou knowest the things for which we ask. Thou knowest the things after which we strive. Wilt Thou, our Father, give unto us that which is good in Thy sight? And Lord, we feel so oft the need of the presence and power of Thy Holy Spirit. Lord, grant Him unto us to guide and to lead us. Now, Father, as we go from here, protect us. See us safely in our homes. Grant unto us a night of sleep and rest. And we'll give Thee the praise for it all in Christ's name. Amen.